there's a woman on our staff who remembers the first album she ever bought. At the age of 9, she picked out She's So Unusual by Cyndi Lauper, one of the biggest hit records of 1984. Our staffer reports that the girls in her school were divided between Madonna people and the Cyndi Lauper people. 20 years later, my colleague still remembers listening to her Cyndi Lauper cassette. Cyndi Lauper herself is 50 years old, and she's produced an album of songs that she remembers hearing as a girl in Queens, New York. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. When she came to our New York studios, Cyndi Lauper was no longer wearing her trademark cast-off clothes. She was tastefully dressed in black and thinking about the way that her music has affected her listeners.
I lived as a child, a little kid, through the Kennedy era. And there was a whole campaign about ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I always wanted to contribute.
When you refer to public service and trying to sing songs that make a difference in people's lives...
And mine, yeah.
And don't take this the wrong way, but Girls Just Want to Have Fun is not the first song that would probably come to somebody's mind when you're talking about
that. Well, that's because you're not a woman, Steve. You see, it was the first song with a woman who brought her mother into it and brought three generations of women together. It was the first time at a concert that you could go and see grandmothers wearing their rhinestones, mothers having their hair spray painted on one side, and children dressed up, a little scary versions of me. But I brought three generations of women together under the guise of having a good time, which is not a bad thing, because really and truly, it's a practice, it's a life practice to walk joyfully through life.
And you did have this huge moment where everybody in America knew who you were, and it was hard to turn on radio without hearing one of your songs. And then you faced the question of what to do next.
Well, it was never a question for me. Even when I had my moment... Me, I didn't think of it as a moment of fame. I think fame got in my way. I hated it. I hated that I was labeled an icon. I hated that people thought that it was manufactured. You know, I worked in a vintage clothing store. Obviously, I liked the clothes a lot. I couldn't make up my mind which to wear, so I wore it all, you know.
So you were 30 years old when this album came out, She's So Unusual. Mm-hmm. Had a huge impact on teenage girls.
Thank God, I hope in a positive way.
And I suppose the question now comes up, what's the record industry like for a woman as she gets into her 40s?
I just think that this country is very ageist. And they want to kick the tires, pick the hood up, and see how much mileage is on the car. Because if anybody walks out of line and place, they get so fachated that you would think the world's on fire.
Metaphorically speaking, were people kicking your tires over the last few years?
No, I think I was kicking everybody's butt the last couple of years. If you ever been to a concert... When everybody says to me, you can't do this, you can't do that, I take a step back and I say, well, there's the brick wall. How am I going to go around it? At last, my love has come along.
Whose idea was it to do an entire album of songs that you remembered hearing while you were growing up in Ozone Park, Queens?
That just happened. I didn't set out to do that. My manager suggested I do an interpreted album. And then I thought about it, and when I started to develop the songs and sing them, I started to remember things. I remember that, God, that was on the radio when I was on my way to Rockaway Beach, and I was laying on the towel listening to the transistor radio, and that was on.
And you can, that all comes back just when you hear that.
When you're singing something, you know, music is very, defines people's lives. And without realizing it, I chose songs that defined a time period in my own life, you know. And I chose to sing with Tony Bennett because when I was little, I'm Italian American. That guy's voice was in my house when I was growing up. Picture a little love nest. I got you.
down where the roses cling.
It's very romantic.
Picture that same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring.
I'm with you.
You chose to sing Making Whoopee with Tony Bennett.
He chose Making Whoopee, but I didn't care if I sang the alphabet with him because it was Tony Bennett. And then, of course, I told him, Tony, maybe you remember me. You were at the World's Fair. I was at the World's Fair. You were coming down the escalator. I was going up, pigtails, pedal pushes. I waved. You waved back. And he looked at me, and he was like, yeah, kid. And then I figured, okay, and everybody else looked at me, so I changed the subject because I thought, well, maybe I'm just scaring him. I thought it was funny.
Tell me about one other song here, and it's another song that almost anybody would know the melody to. You come back to me. Is there a specific memory that song brings back for you?
Just my neighborhood and the park on Atlantic Avenue and 106th Street.
Why did you have to decide? You had to.
You get back to Ozone Park much?
I went back in 93, and I went back to my grandmother's garden, and I was her helper when I was little. I was the one that cared for the garden for her and with her. And when I went back, and, you know, she was very old, it was hay. It had turned to hay. And I remember I was so heartbroken, and then I realized that what the garden she told me would be mine one day wasn't really physically that garden. It was what she was teaching me, which wasn't necessarily just the flowers and how to care for them. So I go back, but I don't go back that much because it was so disappointing, even though I realized my life lesson now. But still, I don't, you know. I'm going to drive back, actually, because I'm going to do a live DVD, and I'm going to go to Liberty Avenue and 104th Street and the A train and film the train coming in, because when I was singing at last, I realized that the rhythm of that song and the placement of that song was on that platform at 8 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the train, the Manhattan-bound train, standing next to all the women who were going to Wall Street. And remembering the 8 o'clock sun, what it looked like on them and how regal they looked, and how the train and Trestle felt when the train was coming in, stopping, and it had a sway to it, and that became the rhythm of the piano. And that's kind of what you hear on it last. So I want to go back with the Bollocks and the 8mm, the Super 8, and get shots of that place.
I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I could call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that I've never known. You smile.
I wonder if they're still listening to the same music on the streets of Ozone Park these days.
No, it will always change. Isn't that fantastic? It will always change. But what you keep is what you remember, and then you interpret your stories. The people who live there now are listening to some wonderful music, and it's all spilling out of storefronts and car windows and backyards, backyard barbecues.
And I'll just mention, Cyndi Lauper, that this latest release is called At Last. Thanks very much for coming by.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year.
And life is like a song. Wrapped in clover, the night I
a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I could call my own.
Our program is directed by Martha Wexler. Tracy Wall directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Susan Stone, Petra Mayer, Elaine Heinzman, and Ben Gilbert. Our technical director is Neil Ellis. Audio engineers include Jerry Tennant, Sherry Marshevsky, Bill Deputy, and Peter Alina. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. And I'm Steve Inskeep. That's All Things Considered from NPR News.